The Utah Attorney General's office made Utah the first state in the nation to fight organized retail theft, full-time. We'll explain how it's made a huge difference. Hello, I'm Richard Pyatt, and this is Legally Speaking. Our case unit enforces crimes against statewide economy. We started case in 2020, working with retailers who even helped provide funding for our efforts. Today, those retailers are grateful their investment is doing a lot of good. But what's ahead? Joining me now are detectives who work full-time with this, Supervising Special Agent James Russell and Detective Steve Jensen. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining me today on Legally Speaking. So this organized retail theft, the things, the videos we see of people wheeling carts full of merchandise out of Home Depots and Targets, or wholesale shoplifting things out of their bags, large quantities of goods like makeup and things like that. This seems like a frustrating, difficult problem. Have our efforts in Utah, being the first state, and then also encouraging other states to join up, are those making a difference for the people that are perpetrating these crimes? Are they conscious that they're now being held more accountable?
Well, I believe we are making a difference. We have made some pretty significant arrests over the last couple of years that and taken out with that a lot of property away from these guys that taken it off the streets. So yeah, I think we've made a pretty good dent, and we're sending a message. We actually have had people say, hey, we hear about this unit who we've arrested. So the word is getting out.
So Steve, our Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, a lot of times when we make arrests, when our detectives make an arrest, the perpetrators will often say, I wondered when you guys were coming. I wondered when you were going to catch up with me. Would you say that the people that do these retail thefts have that same kind of reaction? Do they know that they're doing something wrong and that it's only a matter of time before they're going to get caught up with?
No, I don't think that's the same mentality with the retail theft. These guys are going in and thinking they're getting away. The whole time we're watching them, Rich, on some of these crews that we're going up on. So they're not expecting it. And that's just the way the laws are set up too right now. The punishment isn't really there. And so it makes it the risk a lot lower, and they're doing this stuff.
So what is their mentality? When you arrest them, do they act like you're the one that's committing the offense?
Yeah, the mentality is, number one, nobody's going to stop them. They're entitled to it. Their mentality is the stores, the retailers, they've got insurance. They're going to get it paid for. And the mentality is, yeah, when we stop them, it's our fault for stopping them. It's our fault for bugging these guys. And we're inconveniencing them by taking product back and then having to take them to jail. That's mentality right now.
Does that attitude affect you as a detective, or do you just look at the evidence and kind of proceed forward?
I don't know that that mentality really affects us. I think what affects law enforcement is, how are we going after these crimes? What kind of punishment's being divvied out? Repeat offenders? The teeth. Those are frustrating things. The paperwork, the summonses, the low bail warrants. There's a lot of things that affect us.
Okay, so what I'm really getting at is the frustration that a lot of people feel. And I think the fact that this is happening, people are seeing social media posts. As a matter of fact, I told you guys about a social media post about the audaciousness of some of these people. Some of the customers, some of the members of the public are getting frustrated too. And there was a post on Twitter, X, that showed a man leaving a store with merchandise, and people were chasing after him. And they were saying, hey, you're not leaving with that property. And it turned into a physical altercation. And they basically kind of kicked this guy's butt. So although we don't condone this, we don't want the public to take matters in their own hands, this is frustrating for everybody, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's frustrating for customers. But another aspect of that is, look at the employees that are going to work every day, working hard to get a paycheck, and they're watching stuff walk right out the door. Police resources right now, can be frustrating for a lot of us because we can't get people there quick enough. Employees don't see the end result. And a lot of times don't see anybody get arrested or be held accountable for this. So imagine from the employee standpoint, yet also in the public, they're going to start seeing rising prices. Stuff's going to be locked up, you know, and so you're waiting for things to be brought out to you. changes are being made. So it's starting to trickle down to each one of us, including the customer and even the employees and their morale.
So James, we see a lot of, we hear a lot from California about how bad it is. A lot of merchandise in some of the larger cities is locked up behind cages now. You have to ask somebody to unlock it if you're looking at a power tool, for example. Is that kind of thing headed here, do you think? How do we compare to other states as far as the severity of the problem, would you say?
It's already happening here with higher end products, even stuff like fragrances and bags and that kind of thing are being locked up and not readily available to the shopper like we would like to be able to see. We're not to California's level of theft by any means, but those same measures that you're seeing in California to try and prevent it are certainly coming here as well.
And we're seeing those people out of California coming up here as well. So James mentioned, you know, about California and those crimes. Those people committing crimes in California, we're getting them up here.
It's fresh territory for them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably 50%, if not more, of what we deal with our traveling crews who are going through Utah. They don't live here. They don't have any stake in Utah, but they're out stealing from everyone from St. George to Logan.
When we first started, it seemed like it was more steal the merchandise, sell it to a pawnbroker, get the money, buy drugs, and then that was kind of the cycle. Is that still the same, or are the people that are coming up from California, are they acting a little bit different, or maybe even using the proceeds just as their salary?
I don't see that being the same as much. I think with this particular crime, this is a trending crime that's evolved, kind of like fentanyl with drugs, something that's evolved over the last recent years. Same with this trend. So you're not seeing it go into the pawn shops as much. With that evolvement, you've got online stuff, eBay, Amazon, any online stuff. It's going that way because people are making a profit. And that's the trends we're seeing. And that's where we're trying to stay ahead of this particular trend, because it's coming here and it's here now. And we want to stay on top of it.
James?
Yeah, I think we really see two different kinds of groups. We see the local groups who they'll sell it through any kind of classified ad, online classified ads, eBay, that kind of thing. But we're also the traveling crews. That stuff isn't even landing here. It's going back to California where it's being sold, at a much greater degree than what we're seeing here.
What kinds of penalties do these people face? What do they get charged with typically? Theft or retail theft?
Right now, we don't have an organized retail crime law. We're still under the same statute of retail theft, and that's how it's looked at. So a lot of times you don't get that full context. When somebody gets booked on a retail theft, you're not getting that full context a lot. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And so those penalties apply. And a lot of times it's the lower bail amounts right now. We have overcrowded jails. They're not typically violent. All those things are taken into effect and play a role in arresting and holding people. When they're coming in from out of state, it's pretty easy for them to spend a couple hours in jail. They typically know that, and they have time to then leave and get out of the state. And that case will be hung up on the system for some time before it's ever resolved, knowing that we're not going to bring them back most likely. It costs money to bring them back. Your local jurisdictions are going to run into that issue. So that's kind of where things are at right now with organized crime and those penalties.
How has their involvement evolved over time? Are they also sort of accepting that this stuff is just part of doing business nowadays? Or do they still want to get us to help fight the theft as much as we can and to participate? Are you finding the attitude of the retailers has evolved also?
Yeah, I think the attitude of the retailers is actually getting better as far as that goes. They're becoming more involved, not less. So this is actually taking a pretty big hit on their bottom line. So they've got to do something. We've found retailers to be more and more wanting to be involved in what we are doing, because we're trying to take the individual shoplifting and aggregate them together. So when you have someone who's going up and down the Wasatch Front stealing, we're trying to put those all together into felony charges. So it at least has a bigger bite than the individual shoplifting.
And a lot of times it's knowing what your resources are with these retailers. They've got national task force that'll be on an airplane next week to come out and help us in our state with our local problem if we want. They'll be here in the blink of an eye. You know, walls are getting torn down. Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, they're all teaming up with each other. Lowe's, Home Depot, they're partners on this end and they're communicating with one another. So we're seeing a lot of collaboration with the retailers and they're really trying to support law enforcement and offer us resources to fill in the gaps that we have in everything we do on this organized retail crime front.
So this attitude that, well, if I rob from Home Depot, they're a multinational, multi-billion dollar company, they can afford the loss of these drills. What's the big deal? To that you say what, Steve?
Well, they're not taking into account that making these claims costs money. So products walking out, thousands of dollars are walking out the door. Your cities are losing out on that revenue that's not stocked on the shelf that can't be sold. That's a time factor before that gets restocked. They're losing that money. And then on top of that claim, they're not making any profit. So basically the business is working for free. So you can't run that mentality because it just creates a problem all the way down to the consumer.
And then they steal the merchandise. They have a bunch of drills that they've just ripped off. How do they make money on it? They just resell it? Is it to pawn shops or do they have their own gig going or is it all of the above?
It really is all of the above. Any way that they can make money, they're going to do it. So most of it's going out online through, you know, online classified kind of Facebook marketplace, those kind of places. But the bigger ones that where it's traveling back to California, I mean, some of that could be shipped, you know, anywhere to other countries even.
Yeah, we get the local ones here. We followed them right after taking armfuls of clothes right out of the store. We'll follow them right back to a local motel here, say a Motel 6. They get out and they give a call and people come running up. Many transient homeless individuals. It's a quick trade for those with addictions so that those addictions can be supported and they'll walk out with the armfuls and start dishing it out. We've seen that nonstop.
The case unit also focuses on other kinds of thefts too that affect the statewide economy and the people that live in this state. Things like catalytic converter thefts, which have sort of also been an epidemic, and people getting their boxes, their packages stolen from their front porches and right after Amazon delivers them. Are those kinds of crimes also on the rise as this retail theft is sort of lingering in the background as a steady problem as well?
Actually, as far as catalytic converters, that one's actually on a downtrend. But it's all a matter of convenience and how much profit versus risk they're taking. So with catalytic converters, you know, there's been a number, we've had some really good cases that we've shut some people down on. The price of metal has gone down. So that one, I think we've seen kind of level off, but it's always crimes of opportunity. So once one thing goes down, then in this case, I think the retail theft has kind of made up for that.
But I think you're right. Our efforts at the office to to work with the metal recyclers that were buying the metals and cooperate with the people that were involved on that other end of it have worked in making it less convenient to do that. So this is an area where our efforts as an office kind of pay off in the long run, in a long-term sense, I think. And that's what you're hoping to do with the retail theft too, to continue to work on it.
Right. Yeah. And you know, he talked about catalytic converters. We have seen a decrease in that. And it's kind of depends on the trend at the moment. A year and a half ago, that was the hot trend. It's such a low risk. You go real quick, you're in and out and it's quick, easy money. Those cases, just like these, take time. They take months to work. Running those stats over the last year, I think it's down 90%. 90% almost didn't happen, actually, now that I think about it, James. We almost ran into an issue with that case. A French bulldog almost held up our efforts on that one. You remember that, James? we had an informant on that, and we were down to our last buy with our big fish on the catalytic converter. We got everybody geared up. We are ready to go send in some catalytic converters to make this buy. And as we're following our informant on the freeway, that car began to swerve in and out of lanes, people reaching over seats. We didn't know what was going on. We knew they weren't intoxicated because we just talked to them. Put in a call to the car, and they said, "We're looking for our dog, our French bulldog, Stevie." And just then it dawned on us, they brought the bulldog over to meet with us at the parking lot. They left the bulldog back at the location.
Oh, no.
So anyway, needless to say, that was the first time I've run lights and siren in the AG's office. We went back. Stevie was still sitting there, just waiting to be picked up. We got the bulldog. We got the catalytic converters in. But that case almost didn't happen due to Stevie. But, you know, that was a good case for us. And we haven't seen those numbers in this last little while with the catalytic converters. So
it's just to show how integrated everything is, right? You know, Stevie played a part in that case. There should be a photo and a little asterisk, you know, in your report. What about porch thefts? People are really, really, you know, upset about those. You're expecting your food or your trinket or whatever, your clothes or whatever, and someone comes and rips it off. They don't even know what it is. It's in a sealed box. Is that problem also kind of, that sounds like it could be potentially elusive. It's like, how do you, unless you're following people around, what do you do about that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That one is a tricky one to try and figure out how to best deal with those issues. I think the best way is working with the Amazons and the eBays of the world to try and, both come up with better processes on where to leave packages and those kind of things, as well as, you know, we do occasionally do operations where we'll bait some packages out there just to try and catch some of those people.
And again, in spite of my example at the beginning, if you find someone in the midst of committing one of these crimes that we're talking about, it's probably ill-advised to take matters into your own hands and confront the individual that you're suspecting is stealing and try to take the law into your own hands. That's very, very problematic, very, very dangerous, and not advisable. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one is actually the violence level that some of these people are willing to put forward is increasing. So we're seeing that with organized retail crime, where they are, you know, willing to bring a gun or a knife and to confront whoever's trying to stop them. And we've seen homicides occur because of that. So yeah, I would definitely not recommend taking that into your own hand for whatever's on your porch.
Steve, have you ever encountered anybody that has done that?
I haven't encountered anybody. I know it happens. I know we do have physical attacks that don't get reported publicly, but it happens here all the time with loss prevention, where the fight's on and they get out. So that's something we see, and that affects the way stores look at this trending crime. And that's why it's a problem for us as well.
Sounds like you guys have more than enough on your plate as far as stuff to do on any given day or any given week or any given month or year. So I want to thank you for joining me, taking time today for appearing on the podcast, and for your hard work and the work of all the people that are involved in the Crimes Against Statewide Economy unit. Oh,
thanks, Rich. We appreciate you having us, and hoping there's some more follow-up we can do on this in the future. You know, James pitched a suggestion earlier this week about coming up with different ideas, again, to think outside the box and how we do things. And, you know, breaking news right here with Legally Speaking, we're trying to come up with some ideas. I'm trying to get some ideas that I can present. Maybe we team up with some cities, you know, powerhouses like Taylorsville, West Valley, this forward thinking, moving forward on ORC stuff that we can present and start teaming up and be more proactive with.
Okay. All right. Thank you both. And thank you for joining us on Legally Speaking. We'll talk to you next time.